Hello and welcome to episode 73 of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo, joined by guest, former MMO great, now beat reporter for the Mets at Fan Nation, Pat Ragazzo. Pat, I know you're live down in spring training in Port St. Lucie, so we really appreciate you taking a few minutes here talking with us tonight.
No problem. I'm glad to be here and excited to talk to you. And MMO great. I don't know. That might be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm very flattered, so thank you.
No, absolutely. Love that you were here. And, you know, we worked cross paths a little bit for a little while we were here, which is awesome. Yep. But I guess we have to talk about Sommer news in the sense of injuries. It wouldn't be Mets spring training without a major injury, I guess, kind of announcement happening. Obviously, Kodai Senga, right shoulder injury, going to be shut down. Obviously, not going to make the opening day roster. A lot of speculation how long this injury could be. I feel like a lot of people feel like they'll see him after the All-Star break. I don't really know, you know, timetable for that kind of thing, but it just feels like every year a Mets supposed ace gets injured right before opening day or something like that when the season was going to start. So I just kind of would get your initial reactions to the news and then just your thoughts on the Stearns press conference announcement, you know, from what they were talking about after the fact today as well.
Well, Sal, I mean, you really hit it on the head there. I mean, we've seen this one before. It seems like every year the Mets are going through another major injury or concern in spring training when the calendar is fresh and the season and it's a new start, vibes are high, and then they kind of get slapped in the face with whether it was Jacob deGrom in recent years, Justin Verlander, now Kodai Senga, who's supposed to be the ace of this rotation. And the Mets just really don't know how long he's going to be out. It could, you know, span, you know, potentially months because they don't know, you know, how long it's going to take for his symptoms to subside. And he's not going to begin throwing again until those symptoms go away. Right. And then they have to ramp him up, of course, and obviously have to avoid setbacks along the way. So there is some level of concern there. But David Stearns, when you touched on talking about his press conference, he did say that he expects Kodai Senga to make a significant amount of starts this year, which means he doesn't expect him to be out more than a month or two. Maybe a little more, but still wind up pitching the majority of the season. So that is an optimistic sign for the Mets. But of course, this was very, very disappointing after a really good start to the first official week of camp this week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, I feel like Mets fans, right, kind of when they hear injuries like this, you know, you hear you'll have him back maybe a month or two. I feel like Mets fans tack on a double, whatever that time is, just kind of how they feel like things work out with injuries and stuff like that. Hopefully, you know, like you said, what Stern said, he can make still a significant amount of starts this year. It doesn't push his progress back a lot. Obviously, we know he had a great rookie year in 23. But can you touch a little bit now on just what Stearns was talking about possibly now filling Senga's role for the next couple of months? Obviously, the starting rotation is kind of thin as it was, as we know, but losing, you know, the supposed ace of the staff now, obviously the staff goes from thin to about see-through. So I'm just kind of curious on Stearns' comments from today about that and just what you're hearing.
Well, from an outside perspective and the outside noise and the hysterics, of course, the whole theme of today has been the Mets need to go out and get Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery. Mm-hmm. They need to make a move now, bring in an ace. The problem with that scenario is that the Mets would have to pay 110% luxury tax on every dollar of that contract that if they were to sign a Snell or a Montgomery, and that would double the value figure of the contract. And they're just not going to do that, which is why David Stern says he's confident with the depth that they have in within the organization and the rotation. They're going to go with what they have until Senga comes back. And even they do have some younger guys in the minor leagues, whether it's a Tyler Stewart, a Christian Scott, a Dom Hamill, Mike Vassell. David Stearns wasn't here last year. He wants to see those guys pitch in the minor leagues first before calling them up. And likely some of them will be up this year pitching for the Mets, but it's just not going to happen in the beginning of the season. Without Senga, it's a huge blow. It essentially makes Jose Quintana the ace of the rotation. You have Luis Severino, Sean Manaea, Adrian Hauser, and then likely Tyler McGill. Then they also have the options of Joey Lucchese, who pitched pretty well this year, and Jose Budo, who pitched pretty well this year, both in limited roles. So the Mets are going to go with what they have most likely, unless something drastically changes. But again, because of that luxury tax penalty that they would have to pay, it just doesn't make sense for them to sign one of the top guys who are left on the market. And I know fans aren't going to love that answer, but that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting note as far as the luxury tax. That's not something I even realized. It makes a lot of sense now as far as where they aren't so aggressive with like those deals that you're talking about. You know, you mentioned young guys like Vassell, Scott. Is there any sense? I mean, you touched on as far as you don't think that their timeline will be sped up at all. But do you do you see a scenario where, let's say, you know, that the cast of characters they kind of have in this rotation to start the year really aren't up to snuff and really aren't able to kind of hold the bill, kind of like how the starting staff started last year? Do you think that, you know, coupled with the Sanga injury now, that they would maybe still, you know, if someone like a Scott or a Vassell, you know, first month of their season shows that they're, you know, off to a good start, maybe would push them up timeline a little bit further up to the major leagues?
I think with the veterans they have in the rotation right now, they know what they have. They've seen what these guys can do at the big league level, and the ceiling is not very high, but the floor is not that low. Sure. And Sean Manaea, for example, pitched really, really well for the San Francisco Giants in ERA in the threes from May on last year, added a sweeper, added velocity. You could get some more production out of him. Luis Severino, if he's finally healthy and learned how to not tip his pitches and can control his fastball this year, unlike last year, maybe you could get something out of him. Maybe a glimmer of the all-star ace that he was with the Yankees. It's not going to be that same form because a lot of time has passed since then, but maybe you could get a little bit out of him. And as far as speeding up the timeline for some of the prospects, I mean, there is a case where potentially they could show out in the first month or so, maybe a little more. And one of those guys could get the call if they're needed. And especially if the rotation that they have now is struggling, then that could be maybe a realistic scenario if David Stearns has seen enough from those guys and believes that one of them at least is ready in their development and ready for the big leagues. And Tyler McGill is probably the last one I'll touch on, where we've seen him dominate at certain stretches of his career. He hasn't necessarily been able to put it together for a long stretch, but he is someone who could give you some good starts in the first month or two until Sanga is ready to come back, which would be a huge help for this Mets rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Any plus that a Tyler McGill could have, and like you said, even a Peterson eventually when they come back, can only help as far as with what they got now at the pitching depth. Is there any talk about, you mentioned Severino, how he's looking so far in camp? Does he look healthier than maybe past years now? Or, you know, is the people around maybe kind of seeing maybe that potential upside there? I'm curious with, you know, obviously the area last year, I think it's almost a 70 ERA really. Last couple of years hasn't been great, but I'm just kind of curious there because obviously we know, like you said, the upside, you know, really could be tremendous.
Yeah, it can be. And, you know, every team, when they get their hands on a pitcher, they believe that the technology they have, the analytics, the coaching staff, the voices, that they might be able to fix a guy. And it's happened with a lot of pitchers around the league, and we've seen it recently. And even a guy like Jake Diekman, who was really struggling the last couple of years of his career, he went over to the Tampa Bay Rays. They changed his delivery, and then he posted a 2.45 ERA in 45 innings for them last season, cut down on his walks too a little bit. So that's a guy who obviously the Mets brought over and thought that hopefully he could communicate to their staff what exactly he was doing in Tampa Bay and replicate that success. And yeah, it's certainly possible to get the same out of a guy who has struggled in the past.
Yeah, you talk about those kind of not projects or reclamations, but that's kind of been the calling card for David Stearns, right? Trying to find those diamonds in the rush, especially pitching wise and bullpen wise. So, you know, some of these guys, the Jorge Lopez of the world, the guys that you're mentioning, are, you know, hopefully going to have to step up or found something. You know, Stearns are going to have to hopefully find something with them and their staff. So that'll be interesting. But as far as just position player wise, I guess I just want to transition real quick. Obviously, the Mets have a glaring hole at DH. We know that. They did sign G-Man Choi the other day. Just want to get your thoughts on that. Obviously, it does not move the needle at all and still is a very big need for DH. Just kind of want to get your thoughts there on that signing.
Well, G-Man Choi was a solid player with the Tampa Bay Rays. He wasn't a great player. He wasn't an all-star, but he was solid for what they needed and what they had. And don't forget Luke Voit. I mean, the Mets brought back Luke Voit, who mashed for them in AAA last year. He didn't get the call-up, and he opted out of his minor league deal in August. Went to the Brewers and struggled in 22 games, only got around 50 at-bats. It wasn't really enough to get his feet wet. And really, I think that Luke Voit is also a potential option, along with G-Man Choi, to take that DH spot at some point this season if Mark Vientos cannot emerge as the player that he was in the minor leagues, where he was hitting 25-plus home runs a season. And that's what the Mets are hoping for. But it's also kind of a tough expectation to put on such a young player.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Vientos. I'm going to get to him in a second, and also Beatty. But I'm assuming that there still isn't really a big push or need on their part. We know that JD Martinez is still out there. We've talked about kind of still this void at DH. You know, up until now, is there any traction on that as far as maybe bringing another veteran bat like him to solidify that DH role? Or is it more as far as what you're saying, hopefully these younger guys like Vientos can have a bounce back year. And if not, maybe someone like a Choi can, you know, kind of fill in a void as well, can kind of fill that void if need be.
I believe what the Mets have right now is what they're going to go with. I think that's abundantly clear. And that was the plan all along this year, is to see what they have And then they'll be able to retool once they have more money off the books next winter and spend a little bit and to cover up some holes. This is where they're going to see what they have in their young guys, their player development system, their prospects, their farm system, and how those guys can contribute at the major league level and who's close to contributing and who's not. So the Mets will have a better idea of where things stand after this year, I would say. And as far as JD Martinez is concerned, he's still out there, of course. Mm-hmm. He would really, really give a boost to this lineup. I've been saying it all winter, but he's just not out of their price range and not what the Mets want with the direction that they're going right now. And there is the luxury tax penalty that goes into it as well. So for all those reasons, this is the Mets are going to go with what they have.
Sure. And, you know, you touched on young guys. You know, talked about Mark Vientos there. I just did want to talk to you, just chat around camp at all around Vientos and also Brett Beatty, how they're looking so far. Obviously, you know, looking for bounce backs from both of those guys, hoping they can kind of contribute, you know, beyond this year and be significant roles. Just kind of curious how they're looking so far in camp and what you're hearing.
Well, everyone looks pretty good at this point in camp. I mean, it's the first week of school. Optimism's high. Vibes are high. But Brett Beatty specifically, the Mets are going to find out a lot about him, and Brett Beatty's going to find out a lot about Brett Beatty this year, how he handles adversity and deals with struggles. And sometimes it could really help a young player, but it wasn't long ago that he was the number two prospect in the organization and a top 100 prospect in baseball. So the guy has talent. He was a first round pick. They really need him to step up and develop and grow into the player that they're hoping that he's going to be for his career. And that's a franchise cornerstone. So I think that's why they didn't go out and get a veteran third baseman who was going to challenge him for the job this year, because that just wouldn't be fair to his growth and his development if he had to look over his shoulder every minute of the day and, you know, that he's going to lose his job. So I think the Mets have set up Brett Beatty for success, but at the same time, he's going to have to show some more this year for them to really trust him as the third baseman of the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting what you said as far as them not bringing in a veteran, right, to push him. I really felt as though that would have, you know, helped him, especially in camp, to kind of maybe have someone looking over his shoulder to, you know, progress him along. But obviously, we know that this is kind of a gap year, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, I guess as far as the development's concerned, you're going to, you know, see what you have there. I'm sure, you know, like everything, Stearns wants to see some of the players he has here going forward so he can kind of make his decisions. You know, outside of those guys, obviously veteran guys in camp, Lindor seems to be, you know, not that he hasn't been a leader since he's been here, but you really seems more this year in spring training with a lot of these young guys, seems to be kind of taking them under their wing as far as with workouts, who they have next to his locker, et cetera. Can you just kind of talk about Lindor's kind of, you know, not maturation, but just, you know, kind of comfortability now in New York and kind of taking on that leadership role that he seems to be doing, especially in early on in spring now?
I think the comfort level is a big part of it.
Sure.
He's another year older. He's another year wiser. He's been with the Mets now. This is his fourth season. It's actually my fourth season as well, covering the team full time. But besides the point, I mean, yeah, he's definitely more comfortable. He's put together a couple good seasons in a row. He didn't start off well last year, but he finished well, of course. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so he should be taking the leadership role right now. And they do have other guys in there, such as Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, who was, you know, floated as a potential captain in the future back during the 2022 season if he were to sign an extension. It hasn't happened yet. But, you know, they do have some leadership options there and some guys who have been there for a while and been around the game and had success. But it starts with Lindor. The Mets need a huge year out of Lindor from start to finish, not just from the second half on or however long it was. Granted, Lindor was playing with a bone spur in his elbow all season, mm-hmm. and that's not comfortable for anyone who's ever dealt with that issue, and especially a player. So, yeah, I mean, if Lindor gives the Mets a big year this year, it should really help with them trying to fight for a playoff spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, just seems more and more comfortable every year. So excited how he's going to be here in year four. And, you know, between him and a lot of offensive struggles all around last year for them too, but he seems to be someone that, you know, takes it in stride, plays every day, which is awesome to see. Hopefully that continues. And I guess kind of last couple things I have here, just, you know, how Alonso being at camp, obviously just any talk with him now. I know there's no discussions or anything with contracts, but just kind of the general vibe around him in camp and stuff like that. And obviously with him entering his walk here. Yeah.
I think Alonso's heard a lot about his contract situation, potential extensions, potential trades, really since the trade deadline last year. Sure. And as a player, it seems like he's going to be trying to tune that out. And now that he's back in spring training, he's just focused on baseball. He did say he's open to speaking about a contract extension with the Mets if they were to approach him and his agent, Scott Boras. Now, Alonso said he's not putting a deadline on it of the regular season. He said he's open to talking during the regular season if the Mets approach him, which I found surprising because that almost never happens. And it's really uncommon. It's a big distraction for the player. It's a big distraction for the team. It'll get out in the media. There'll be stories about it. It just doesn't make sense. And it's not something that I see the Mets doing. But Alonso's open to it. He is open to staying. Just the only question is, are the Mets going to be so far out of it by the trade deadline that they would have to start fielding calls about him and maybe making a trade if it's an offer they can't refuse, or if he's going to remain a Met all season and then go to free agency, and then it's going to be a bidding war, of course, where the Mets kind of can't let him go. Some of it's going to be determined off this year, but based off what he's done for his entire career, best power hitter in the game, most home runs in the game, most RBIs in the game since he came into the league in 2019, it's going to be hard to let go of a superstar franchise cornerstone player like that who's beloved by the fans without a riot in New York City. So the Mets are going to do probably what they can to retain him. It's going to be more difficult in free agency. But I know Alonso has said it before that he would love to be a Met for life. The Mets would love to have a long-term relationship with him for life. And that's probably what, you know, could potentially play out. It's just a lot of that's going to be determined, obviously, over the course of the next 6-7 months.
Sure. Yeah, I think everyone's in agreement. Sign Pete Alonso. Whenever you want to do it, in season, next year, whatever, he needs to be a Met long-term. You can't replace that production, that leadership, just built for this kind of city. So hopefully they get that right. But, you know, obviously, I think that's going to wrap everything up. We don't want to keep you here all night. We know you're busy down in Port St. Lucie, but we appreciate you taking some time, filling us in with everything. And obviously, as far as the show goes, we'll keep you everything up to date on everything here in Mets land. But and then, as always, let's go Mets.